Big Arizona waterways like the Salt River fall under the Federal Clean Water Act, as do some of their tributaries. But exactly which tributaries are covered by the act has led to many legal fights since it first passed in 1972. The latest battle is over a rollback of rules from the Obama administration that defined a so-called water of the United States. KJZZ's Brett Jaspers explains.
Hey, buddy, 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 buddy.
Good boy, thank you.
Nathan Reese is taking his German short-haired pointer, Bo, off trail to hike along Dude Creek in the Tonto National Forest northeast of Phoenix. I asked Reese to show me an ephemeral stream, a channel that may be dry now, but clearly carries water at least once in a while.
Here's a good example of an ephemeral stream that comes in that's probably not mapped because we see how small it is. But this contributes to Dew Creek that we're standing in right now that has water in it.
Reese works for the Arizona chapter of Trout Unlimited, the sportsman's group. It favors federal protection over ephemeral streams like this one, so industries would need a certain federal permit to build around it or discharge anything into it.
If there was a mining operation even a mile upstream from where the confluence is, and tailings are being dumped into this, you know, dry wash bed, when those heavy rains come, it's going to push all those tailings downstream. It's going to get pushed down into Drew Creek, which is going to go into the East Verde, into the Salt, down to the Phoenix Valley.
Legally, an ephemeral stream flows because of precipitation. According to Trout Unlimited, three-quarters of Arizona streams are ephemeral. Earlier this year, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers put out new rules for the Clean Water Act. In a change from Obama-era rules, they said ephemeral streams would not fall under federal jurisdiction.
The hook is waters of the United States. Those are the jurisdictional waters. Well, what does that mean? That definition has evolved tremendously over time.
Bethany Sullivan is a law professor at the University of Arizona and says the Clean Water Act has a long and complicated history. Sullivan says the Obama rules came after a Supreme Court case from 2006 left no clear directive, giving each side of the issue a legal argument to make. The Obama-era EPA and Army Corps of Engineers went with what Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote.
The idea that waters that have a significant nexus with traditionally navigable waters should fall within the scope of the act.
One example would be a wetland or desert wash whose hydrology significantly affected a more permanent waterway, even if they don't physically touch. But Adam Hawkins, who consults with mining companies with the firm Global External Relations, said the rule would have only guaranteed extra permitting.
What we were looking at with the 2015 rule was a situation which would have added additional unnecessary time and analysis to the process with, in my opinion, no additional protection to the environment.
Those 2015 rules didn't stay around for long. The Trump EPA and Army Corps of Engineers is using a different, narrower definition of waters of the U.S. from Justice Antonin Scalia. Ephemeral streams would not be covered. Spencer Camps is with the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona. He's happy with the revision.
The purpose and goal of the Clean Water Act was to protect water. If water doesn't remain there, you know, what is the need for a federal footprint to regulate that system?
Getting a federal permit under the Clean Water Act, Camp said, can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars in engineering and legal services. And having less federal oversight does not mean no oversight.
The state plans on to, as I understand it, and can step in and regulate those waterways.
After early signs the Trump administration would change the rule, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey wrote to the EPA and said the state would have to, quote, evaluate how to protect waters that no longer fall under the Clean Water Act. The state is still finishing its comments on the proposed change, and the Department of Environmental Quality declined an interview. The public comment period ends Monday. Melinda Kasson is an attorney with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, a sportsman group out of Colorado. She doesn't see states filling the breach here. Kasson argues state legislatures will be reluctant to pass any fee increases needed to improve regulation.
We have the Clean Water Act in part because the states had the authority to do this before, and they weren't getting the job done, and the Cuyahoga River burned and other things happened.
The Cuyahoga River in northeast Ohio famously caught fire in the late 1960s, precipitating the Clean Water Act. And ever since, there's been a vigorous debate over exactly how much federal oversight is needed. In Payson and Phoenix, Brett Jaspers, KJZZ News.
This story is part of Elemental, covering sustainability, a collaboration between public radio stations and media outlets in the West.